I asked you a question, boy.
No, I don't feel better.
What's your name? Asked the man.
Nero.
A couple of children who knew a little bit about history laughed at the name. Bean knew about the Emperor Nero. He did not laugh, however. He knew that a child named Bean was wise not to laugh at other kids' names. Besides, a name like that could be a real burden to bear. It said something about the boy's strength, or at least his defiance, that he didn't give some nickname. Or maybe Nero was his nickname.
Just Nero? Asked the man.
Nero Boulanger.
French? Or just hungry?
Bean did not get the joke. Was Boulanger a name that had something to do with food?
Algerian.
Nero, you are an example to all the children on this shuttle. Because most of them are so foolish, they think it is better to keep their stupidest thoughts to themselves. You, however, understand the profound truth that you must reveal your stupidity openly. To hold your stupidity inside you is to embrace it, to cling to it, to protect it. But when you expose your stupidity, you give yourself the chance to have it caught, corrected, and replaced with wisdom. Be brave, all of you, like Nero Boulanger, and when you have a thought of such surpassing ignorance that you think it's actually smart, make sure to make some noise, to let your mental limitations squeak out some whimpering fart of a thought so that you have a chance to learn.
Nero grumbled something.
Listen. Another flatulence, but this time even less articulate than before. Tell us, Nero. Speak up. You are teaching us all by the example of your courage, however half-assed it might be.
A couple of students laughed.
And listen, your fart has drawn out other farts from people equally stupid, for they think they are somehow superior to you, and that they could not just as easily have been chosen to be examples of superior intellect.
There would be no more laughter.
Bean felt a kind of dread, for he knew that somehow this verbal sparring, or rather this one-sided verbal assault, this torture, this public exposure, was going to find some twisted path that led to him. He did not know how he sensed this, for the uniformed man had not so much as glanced at Bean, and Bean had made no sound, had done nothing to call attention to himself. Yet he knew that he, not Nero, would end up receiving the cruelest thrust from this man's dagger. Then Bean realized why he was sure it would turn against him. This had turned into a nasty little argument about whether someone had higher test scores than anyone else on the shuttle. And Bean had assumed, for no reason whatsoever, that he was the child with the highest scores. Now that he had seen his own belief, he knew it was absurd. These children were all older and had grown up with far more advantages. He had had only Sister Carlotta as a teacher. Sister Carlotta and, of course, the street, though few of the things he learned there had shown up on the tests. There was no way that Bean had the highest score. Yet he still knew, with absolute certainty, that this discussion was full of danger for him.
I told you to speak up, Nero.
I'm waiting.
I still don't see how anything I said was stupid, said Nero.
First, it was stupid because I have all the authority here, and you have none. So I have the power to make your life miserable, and you have no power to protect yourself. So how much intelligence does it take just to keep your mouth shut and avoid calling attention to yourself? What could be a more obvious decision to make when confronted with such a lopsided distribution of power?
Nero withered in his seat.
Second, you seemed to be listening to me, not to find out useful information, but to try to catch me in a logical fallacy. This tells us all that you are used to being smarter than your teachers, and that you listen to them in order to catch them making mistakes and prove how smart you are to the other students. This is such a pointless, stupid way of listening to teachers that it is clear you are going to waste months of our time before you finally catch on that the only transaction that matters
is a transfer of useful information from adults who possess it to children who do not, and that catching mistakes is a criminal misuse of time. Bean silently disagreed. The criminal misuse of time was pointing out the mistakes. Catching them, noticing them, that was essential. If you did not in your own mind distinguish between useful and erroneous information, then you were not learning at all. You were merely replacing ignorance with false belief, which was no improvement. The part of the man's statement that was true, however, was about the uselessness of speaking up. If I know that the teacher is wrong and say nothing, then I remain the only one who knows, and that gives me an advantage over those who believe the teacher. Third, said the man, my statement only seems to be self-contradictory and impossible because you did not think beneath the surface of the situation. In fact, it is not necessarily true that one person has the highest scores of everyone on this shuttle. That's because there were many tests, physical, mental, social, and psychological, and many ways to define highest as well, since there are many ways to be physically or socially or psychologically fit for command. Children who tested highest on stamina may not have tested highest on strength. Children who tested highest on memory may not have tested highest on anticipatory analysis. Children with remarkable social skills might be weaker in delay of gratification. Are you beginning to grasp the shallowness of your thinking that led you to your stupid and useless conclusion? Nero nodded. Let us hear the sound of your flatulence again, Nero. Be just as loud in acknowledging your errors as you were in making them. I was wrong. There was not a boy on that shuttle who would not have avowed a preference for death to being in Nero's place at that moment. And yet Bean felt a kind of envy as well, though he did not understand why he would envy the victim of such torture.